And welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Also, Steve Vaughn. On this edition of the program, as we come back to the national economy and friends, welcome to 2022, in which inflation, at least the official rate, is some 7%, and the median income for the average family in America is going down. This is the end of the American dream as we know it, at least for the time being. And we are seeing that the American standard of living that we have been experiencing for 9 to 40, 50 years has come to an end. And here's the skinny on American economics, where things are for the average Joe and Jill. Your paycheck is going down. You've been docked, and you will be docked. Your savings account is losing money by roughly 7% per year. So if you have any money in Federal Reserve notes, or you have any money in the bank, in savings, in CDs, or what have you, you're probably losing anywhere between 4 and 7% per year. I don't think CDs are doing much better than 0.5% at this point, Steve. I'm guessing that the average person is losing, yeah, upwards of 6.5 to 7% per year on their savings accounts. Your conservative bonds that you bought 10 years ago, not doing very well. You've been losing money for 10 years on them. $4 trillion in 10 years, assuming the CPI. And that's about 15% of the total government bond issue, which means that you're losing 1.5% per year. And that assumes that the CPI is accurate, of course. And this year, you're probably losing 5.5 to 7% on your bonds. Now, what does this do? Well, this is undermining the savings and the earnings of average everyday Americans, the savers, the workers, and the widows. So that's where we are today. We are impoverishing the nation thanks to $9 trillion of quantitative easing and the inflation that's been brought about by the Federal Reserve. That's where we are right now, Stephen. It would be nice if somebody would actually tell the truth from time to time, especially with Fox Business or CNBC. I rarely find the truth on CNBC and Fox News. I have to go to Zero Hedge, or I have to run off to WolfStreet.com, or, you know, one of the less traveled economics websites. You're not going to get the truth on foxbusiness.com. You just don't get the truth there.
The thing that people need to look at is not how much money. I mean, it has nothing to do with the number of dollars that you have in saving or in your wallet. It's what is the purchasing power of those dollars. And with inflation, as inflation goes up, the purchasing power of each of those dollars goes down. And so that means then if you don't get a raise because of that, then your labor that you have just done is worth less than it was a few days ago. My labor that I did when I was, you know, in the 1970s is now way worth less than what it is today, because I'm not, you know, the amount of things I could purchase in the 1970s with the same dollars, if I saved them from 1970 to today, they're pretty much worthless, because my labor then becomes worthless. They're stealing the quality and the amount that my labor was to them today. I mean, inflation is stealing, and that's the way the government does that. That's the way they steal money from you.
And we want to encourage honesty on the part of employers. I'm going to get there in just a moment. Let's talk about employers. Now, we have folks that we employ as part of the Generations Ministry, and I think it's essential that employers be honest. Now, again, granted, the system's not honest. But if we hire somebody for $50,000 a year, and we really haven't done much to keep up with the CPI or the more accurate measurements of inflation for the last 5 years, and the guy's really making $35,000 in the sorts of money he would have received 5 years ago, then you need to say, I'm sorry, but in terms of real value, we are only paying you $35,000, whereas we were paying you $50,000 5 years ago for doing the same job. I think you just have to be honest about what is happening with inflation. We haven't seen much honesty on the part of the American economy, but I think Christian employers especially need to be honest on this issue. More on this in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
What What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast on this issue of inflation. ZeroHedge.com this morning, official inflation year over year. Now, this against the official CPI number is 7%. So overall, inflation at 7% this year. But the average salary increase was 3.9%. There's a difference there, Steve.
Yeah, like 3.1%, if my math serves me correct.
Yeah, and I think the average employer needs to turn to their employee and say, we're docking you 3.1% this year. Because we're only giving you a COLA of 3.9% and the official CPI 7%. I think it's time that employers just be honest with that. The average hourly earnings fell 2.4% year over year for the ninth straight month. That's Zero Hedge as of this morning. So the next time a politician tries to tell you to be grateful that your wages are going up or you can move to a new higher paying job, just remind them that the surge in the cost of living is outpacing wage gains thanks to the Fed's money largesse and Congress's lockdown policies and helicopter money that's crushed the quality of life for millions of people. That's Zero Hedge this morning. According to Y Charts, average earnings have fallen since April of 2020. So it's not just 9 months. The overall average of earnings in America has fallen since 2020. That's a 5.4% docking in pay on average, thanks to a hidden cost of inflation that's based on the CPI again. That's 5.4% dock in pay for Americans since April of 2020. The CPI is only about half of what's happening, by the way. And we've done this before, but I want to do it again. The average new house in 1975 was $48,000. And you could pay it off in 3.78 years if you applied every dime you made. Okay? You could pay off the average house in America in 1975 in 3.78 years on the median income. Okay, fast forward now, 2021, the average home is $404,000, and based on median income, could take you 6 years to pay it off. Now, even if you account for the 43% increase on square footage, you're still behind 1975 by about 50%. So that means that inflation is fooling you. You thought you were making more money, and your income was staying up with your expenses. Uh-uh, wasn't happening, friends. You're about 50% poorer than you were in 1975 housing-wise. Now, let's look at transportation, which is the second big cost factor in the American budget. Here it is. Average new car was $3,800 in 1975, and it'd take you 0.3 of a year to pay that off with your median income. 0.3 of a year. Now, fast forward to 2021, average new car is $41,000. Take you 0.6 of your median income to pay that off. What is that, double? Yeah, it's double.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's double. And people say, yeah, but the cars back then weren't as good. They were bigger. They were bigger cars. So that's the one thing we know about 1975 vehicles. Took a little more metal to put them together. They didn't use as much plastic.
That means they're safer. I mean, if you...
Well, they probably were safer.
Yeah, so if you add... I mean, studies have shown that if you add 100 pounds of cement to your trunk, you'll survive more wrecks just by adding 100 pounds of weight to your car. So yeah, they are safer.
Well, transportation costs double what they were in 1975, adjusted for inflation. Average public college education in 1975 cost you $7,276. Take a 0.57 of a year of your median income to pay it off. And average college education today in 2021 takes you 1.12 of your median income in any given year to pay that off. So what is that, double? So you're spending twice as much money per income than you did in 1975 for these things. So you say, well, okay, that was the way things were in 2021. Now, let's take a look at what happened inflation-wise in 2021. Okay, just last year. Let's look at inflation. Inflation in 2021, housing prices went up 14%. Used cars went up 35%. Gas price went up 25% on average compared to 2020. Restaurants were up 6%. Groceries up 6.4%. Electricity was up 6.9%. Healthcare up at least 4%. Natural gas was up 67%. Now, does that look like 7% inflation to you, Steve?
No, that looks like it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, exactly. And my numbers, again, consistently come out at 13%. I've done this several times. And my numbers for inflation rate in 2021, year over year, is right around 13 to 14%. And I've done it several times. Now, what's going on here? Housing prices up 14%, utilities up 67%, gas prices up 25%, used cars were up 35%. Yeah, restaurant and food was up 6 to 7%. Okay, I get that. But what about the big factors? What about shelter? What about insurance? What about automobiles? What about gas? What about utilities? These things apparently not considered in the CPI, from what I can tell. So if you're an employer, friends, if you're an employer and you agree to give your employees a certain amount of money last year, and now the CPI is at 7%, you're going to give your employees a 7% COLA raise or maybe something closer to 13%? Now, if you don't, you're effectively stealing from your employee. At least you're giving them the impression that they're still making the same amount they were making the year before. That's just the way that people think. That's all I'm saying. People still think that they were hired at a certain amount of money and they're not losing that money. They're not getting docked year by year. But I think as an employer, at the very least, you need to tell them that you're docking their pay. That would be the honest thing to say. Steve, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a little bit of sense. The inflation, people need to understand what that is. It's just flooding the system with money. The results of that are increases in prices. And so but the purchasing power of that dollar has gone down. And so if you're still making the same amount of money, the same number of dollars, but the purchasing power has gone down, you're making less. And I think that, you know, the employers may not be the ones that are causing the lie, but they need to at least let them know, I'm sorry, but the government has flooded the system with money and it hasn't caught up to me yet. So you're still getting paid the same amount. You just can't buy as much with the money that you're making.
Yeah. And I think that's the honest thing to say. So I'm encouraging Christian employers right now to be honest with your employees. And there are a surprising number of biblical texts tied into employers paying their employees and warning them not to cheat their employees. It's the big thing throughout scripture. When we hire our employees, they expect that we will be true to their contracts. They will get so much money for doing so much work. The problem, of course, is the value of money is decreasing because of what Steve said, the devaluation of money on the part of the Federal Reserve. But James 5:14, what does it say? Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the eyes of the Lord of hosts. Leviticus 19, verse 13. We talked about Leviticus 19 several days ago. But here it is. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. Again, I think we should actually use this as ethically directive to the present day. Steve, I think the Old Testament should be used. I think Leviticus 19 should be used. And I think we should take note that we are not to rob our neighbor. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. Jeremiah 22:13 as well. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbor serve him for nothing and does not give him his wages. So there's so many texts throughout Scripture that tie this in. By the way, we bring this into the new book on economics for 14-year-olds. Called How the World Runs and Your Part in It. Now, we want to be sure we bring in the hundreds upon hundreds, perhaps even thousands of biblical texts related to economics. We want to be sure that our children understand these, especially in a day of so much chicanery, so much corruption, so much deception that's going on. Let's be sure that our children are rooted and grounded in the rock-solid principles of economics found in God's Word. Essential right now. So we contract with somebody to do work for a certain amount of money. We need to be at least honest with our employees and tell them they're making less money adjusted for the cost of living and inflation if we're not able to make the CPI. And again, you say the Federal Reserve stole the wealth by $9 trillion of quantitative easing. I get that. I still think that employers should be honest with their employees. You're receiving less money for the work you do this year than you did last year, adjusted for inflation. Your cost of living is way higher. You have to work twice as long to pay off a house than you did in 1975. You have to work twice as long to pay off a new car than you did in 1975. And you're in way more debt. Now, I think this is how people are able to still maintain a semblance of living at the same level that they did in 1975, Steve, is that they're in about twice as much debt today as they were back then. Most of the increases of cost have been passed into debt for the average household. Household debt to GDP in America has gone from 42% of the GDP to 80% between 1975 and 2022. All right? So now that's debt to GDP. That's average household in America is in twice as much debt per income, per national income, per GDP as they were in 1975. So you have to go into twice as much debt if you're making half the money. Does that make sense, Steve?
Yes, it does.
But it's just not right, it seems to me. But why is this happening? Bottom line is happening because of the pretense of the Federal Reserve and the federal government. They're working in conjunction with each other in this entire scheme. And Isaiah 1, I think, really nails it when Isaiah 1 says how the faithful city has become a harlot. I guess Washington, D.C., isn't it?
Yeah.
Faithful city. I'm not sure how faithful she was, 100 years ago, but whatever. But how the faithful city has become a harlot. Was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine is mixed with water, your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. So that's the kind of thing that's going on. And I like to use this allegory to explain the concept of inflation to our students. Again, this is to be found in the new book that we're putting out right now called How the World Runs and Your Part in It. Let's say that there were 1,000 people and 1,000 $1 bills in a small community and you were the king. Each person was in possession of $1 and you decide to print 2,000 more dollar bills. And this would make each dollar bill in the community worth 33 cents, right? Because you're increasing the $1,000 bills to $3,000 bills. So that would make each dollar bill you had were 33 cents, and then from the 2,000 $1 bills you printed, you sent every person a dollar bill, which was worth 33 cents, but you keep the other $1,000 you printed for yourself, for administrative costs, of course. And now, everybody used to have $1 each in their savings account. By this point, each of the citizens in possession of two full dollars. But really, each person only has 66 cents in real value, in the value of what it used to be. But they're all very happy still. What a wonderful king, they say. They offer their thanksgivings to the king for giving them $1, which is only worth 33 cents, and reducing their total savings to 66 cents in value. However, there's one little problem for the community. A loaf of bread used to cost 10 cents, but now a loaf of bread is priced at 30 cents. That means that everybody used to be able to afford 10 loaves of bread with their savings of $1, but now they can only afford 6 loaves of bread with their $2. Yet very few of the citizens could figure out what happened. And that's usually the way it works, isn't it, Steve? That, people don't follow this very well. It's just kind of sneaky. And I don't think the average person thinks about what's happening here. Yeah. I think the average person, who's making $50,000 a year, his employer comes up, says, I decided to give you a COLA of 4%. Here's $2,000. Now you get $52,000 a year, whereas last year we were making $50,000. Not realizing that the COLA doesn't really quite make for the 7% inflation that they just experienced. They feel very good that they got their COLA of $2,000 over the $50,000, but they forgot that inflation was 7% and all they got was a lousy 4% raise. They just don't get it, do they? The average person.
The average person doesn't. No, because they don't teach this. They teach that the government in public schools, the government is our family and they're the ones who are going to take care of us from cradle to grave. And, even if you run out of money, hey, everybody else's money will pay you to live for the rest of your life. So why worry?
It's interesting. John Maynard Keynes is one of the masterminds that uses this entire system and has tweaked the system such that, quantitative easing is supposed to increase employment in a country, which is inevitably supposed to decrease the possibility of recessions and so forth. And so a nation is perpetually in debt, but a nation is somehow able to avert any serious recessions, according to the Keynesian theory. But John Maynard Keynes takes advantage of inflation for what he believes to be helpful for debtors and helpful for maintaining fairly strong employment in a nation. So that was his theory. But he did admit this in one particular quote. Listen to this. It's John Maynard Keynes talking about inflation. He quotes Lenin, who is the dictator from the Soviet Union. Lenin is said to have declared that the best way to destroy the capitalist system was to debauch the currency. By continuing a process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. By this method, they not only confiscate, but they confiscate arbitrarily. And while the process impoverishes many, it actually enriches some. Absolutely. As in the Elon Musks of the world. The sight of this arbitrary rearrangement of riches strikes not only at security, but also at confidence in the equity of the existing distribution of wealth. Those to whom the system brings windfalls beyond their deserts and even beyond their expectations or desires become profiteers, who are the object of the hatred of the bourgeoisie, whom the inflationism has impoverished not less than of the proletariat. As the inflation proceeds and the real value of the currency fluctuates wildly from month to month, all permanent relations between debtors and creditors, which form the ultimate foundation of capitalism, become so utterly disordered as to be almost meaningless, and the process of wealth getting degenerates into a gamble and a lottery, which is precisely what's happening with cryptocurrency and the entire stock market today. Lenin, according to Keynes, was certainly right. There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existent basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction and does it in a manner which not one man in a million is able to diagnose. Well, except for those who listen to the Generations broadcast, of course.
Yeah, they're the smart ones. So keep listening.
Incredible what John Maynard Keynes has come up with here.
Yes, it is. And remember, his last words or some of his last words was, hey, in the end, we all die anyway. And so, what if this doesn't work? Well, we're all going to die.
We're all going to die anyway. And that's, of course, the words of one of the most well-known homosexuals, childless homosexuals in the history of Western leadership, certainly in the history of Western economies. Well, friends, let's wrap it up this way. Let's just get back to God's word. And that's, of course, why we're releasing a new book in just a month or two called How the World Runs and Your Part in It. And my encouragement, just very simply here, is don't live beyond your means. Don't go into debt or just get out of debt right now. Be content with your wages, but also be honest about your wages. We've talked about that. Realize that this systemic robbery cannot go on forever. It just doesn't. It's coming down. And it's time to educate our children on this stuff. It's why How the World Runs and Your Part in It is so important. I think it's the most important book we've done this year, and I want to get it out in the next month or so. But here we are, economic collapses, crookedness, chicanery, the everything bubble is bursting. Whether this will be the Great Reset or the Great Recession, economic turmoil has now become the rule of the day. Now, some people make things happen, some people watch things happen, and others wonder what happened. And the purpose of this broadcast, and the purpose for this book, is that you will not be amongst those who wonder what happened. The worldly Keynesian socialist, heavily manipulated, robbing, cheating, stealing systems of macroeconomics have steadily lost all internal integrity for almost 100 years now, throughout the developed nations, all of the developed nations in the world. This disintegration has finally led to a collapse. And so how will our families and our young people respond to this economic conflagration? I present a game plan for every person who needs to find a way in the world and to really identify what's going on in the world, how the world runs, and your part in it. That's the whole point of this book. It's coming out in just a month or two. Just want to give you the heads up on it. Encourage you also to Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. We have a chapter on basically what I'm bringing out in this book, this new book. But Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the Western Economy is important to get something of a bird's eye view of what's happened in the destruction of Western economies. That's Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. And the Rise and Fall of the Western Economy, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.